And it was an amazing grace that allowed me to see that.
When you deeply understand what has just been said to you, when you deeply experience it, life can never be the same for you. For you truly do then know that we are all one, that there's only one of us in the room, and that changes everything. Then your pain becomes my pain. Your joy becomes my joy. What I do for you, I do for me. And what I fail to do for you, I fail to do for me. It all becomes very clear and very simple. And we wonder why we didn't understand it with such simplicity before. Then all there is to do is to act it. So know this then about all the souls in creation. In my house there are many rooms. And in that place which we call home there are many mansions. Yet there is only one home, one being, and that's you. Welcome home. Now, does such esoteric wisdom have any practical function in day-to-day life? Or is it just a pretty thought? A gentle insight, a nice idea? Or can it have some application in our moment-to-moment experience? I believe it can. The only question then is, what will that action be that we take? How will we choose to functionalize our new truth? Or perhaps our always present truth, now more clearly understood? Your life lived will be your answer to that question. But try not to leave here in the next few days, returning to your old patterns. But yet form a new pattern and a new reality that we might all together seek a newer world. Because if that isn't a worthy activity for the lot of us, then what is? Human sexuality is among the most distorted of human experiences. We have allowed ourselves to feel so inhibited about it and around it, by and large, if not embarrassed by it, that it has almost become impolite to even talk about it in public. That is amazing, given that it is the human activity which recreates life itself. We have created a culture and a society in which violence is glorified and acts of violence are depicted on the screen in such startling reality that people come running from the movie house in tears and falling apart. But God forbid that we should depict on the same huge screen an act of love that would allow us to revisit what we went through in an act of love. They say that depictions of sexuality on the screen have become about as graphic as one could get, although that is not nearly so as anyone who has had a real sexual experience as opposed to a screen sexual experience will tell you. And yet I would say this: if Steven Spielberg ever attempted to put on screen an act of sexual love at the level of realism and detail that the act of violence that is depicted in Saving Private Ryan, he would be drummed out of Hollywood and the movie would be condemned as being too explicit, far too explicit. If that doesn't say something about the collective decision we've made in our society, then I don't know what does. I can tell you that if we had a 22-minute love scene on screen with that much detail, we would be, most of us, embarrassed to high heaven. Some of us would be ecstatic, but most of us would be embarrassed to high heaven. Why we're not embarrassed to high heaven with 22 minutes of that graphic depiction of violence is beyond me, because that's what should embarrass us. Of course, the depiction is justified by the filmmaker and by the audience along the following lines. It's really needed in order for us to get the true picture of the horror of war. And all he was trying to do was honestly and graphically show us the horror of war. And so we forgive it, if you will, or allow it, if you please, as a device of realism. Yet even if the same rationale were used with regard to a love scene, if the producer said, "I am merely seeking to show the beauty and the glory of love, and to do it as realistically as possible," we would say, "Sorry, can't go there." And you may want to ask yourself the reason why. There would be pickets up and down in front of that theater from a great many people. Yet I don't see any of those organizations that uphold family values marching up and down in front of the theater protesting Saving Private Ryan. You see, our children and our children's children and their children's children and us and our fathers and their fathers and mothers before them and so forth have been taught that violence is okay. Now, I know that you say they haven't been taught that violence is okay, but with regard to violence, we say one thing and do another. The same father who says, "Don't hit your brother," smacks the kid around to show him that he shouldn't be doing that. See, what did I tell you? Didn't I tell you not to hit your brother? Do I have to show you again what I mean when I say, "Don't hit your brother"? And the guy who does that doesn't even see the contradiction any more than society sees the contradiction between saying, "Thou shalt not kill," and, "In order to make sure you get that, I'm going to kill you." We are trying to end murder in this country by killing people. It's called execution. And we don't see the contradiction. Einstein said, "There is no problem in the physical known universe that can be solved with the same energy which created the problem itself." In other words, you don't solve the problem of violence with violence. But there are those who say, "You don't understand, Neil, oh man, I should have known when I walked in here this guy was a left-wing liberal nut. Of course you solve violence with violence. Of course you do. Don't you see how the crime rate has gone down since violence has gone up in our prisons?" Yes.
I think that in our society now, there's enough people that are having the same thoughts that you're putting in your book and that we're sharing here, that if Spielberg did a movie with the same sensitivity to real life and had the storyline progress in such a way that the sexual scene was the outcome, that it would be widely accepted, because that's where we're at individually. We just don't want to set it out there societally yet. And that coming to that level and saying that, yes, this is something that we appreciate and that we cherish in our lives, and this is what is good for us, would be supported by the people.
Boy, do I wish you were right. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were right and we could actually watch a 22-minute scene of sexual love and have that be okay with us?
We haven't been shown that. I think people equate on-scene love with pornography. But if anyone's ever seen that, you know that is not how it is. And so that has nothing to do with that. And when you cross that line into what the real life is, the real human interaction, that's what people want to see. I think that's what people need to see. And so I'm all for Stephen going that way, and I'd go pay my $9.50. Not a problem.
And by the way, this is not a tirade against Saving Private Ryan. Truly, it is not. I mean, as a person who believes in total freedom and limitlessness, I think that movie makers ought to be able to depict that for whatever reasons they choose. The point I'm making is, notice the double standard. That if we try to do 22 minutes of sexual content that graphically, with that much detail, in that length, 22 minutes of a feature film on one scene, we would not allow it as a society. We would not allow it. The Decency League, or whoever they are, would have huge problems with it. Yes?
Okay, this may sound kind of out there, but it seems to me that if you look back through history, killing and violence and all that has been something that the government and the religions and society in general have said that's okay too, because it was a way to individualize people, as in, oh, we're better than you are. Okay, but it seems to me sex, like you said, is the greatest form of self-expression, which in itself empowers us as individuals. It helps us feel the love and the understanding, and I think that in a way, society and religion have used that to empower them and disempower us.
And also, sexuality. If war and violence has been used as a separating device, because, of course, it's a way of saying we're better than you, and then sex has been denied its proper place in our culture because it is a unifying device that says we are united, we are one. And that's the one message our institutions on this planet cannot tolerate, whether they're political institutions, industrial or business institutions, social institutions, cultural institutions, religious institutions. The one message that all of those institutions collectively cannot abide, not even religious ones, is we are united. We're all one. Because if we accept the message that we're all one, then the mission of every religion, government, business, industry, and social construction is destroyed, obliterated, rendered obsolete. Yes, let's take a comment over here too, and then we need to move on in order to come to some conclusion on this subject of human sexuality and some of the contradictions and hypocrisies surrounding it.
This is probably very simplistic, but I'm going all the way back to your first question. Sex is something that is done privately with a woman, generally in a bedroom. Violence is a macho male thing that's gone on for generation after generation after generation because war has been deemed okay. That's the difference. That's why I think that they don't put sex on movies as opposed to why violence is okay.
And since we live in a culture that continues to this day to be largely patriarchal,
yes, sir.
Patriarchy says violence is okay, depiction of sexual love is not.
I don't think it's about sexuality as much as intimacy. I think we need to listen to each other and embrace each other. And when I think someone said earlier, when the kids feel like they're connected to something that's meaningful called human beings and other adults and kids, There's a sense of ownership in what they're doing, and they want to be more connected to this. So we all want to feel connected, and I think it's intimacy. That's what I think it really is.
Thank you, and thank you for tying that all together that way, because no one has said that so far, that we're really talking about the experience of intimacy. Thank you very much.